Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Traffic stop leads to drug seizure arrest. A traffic stop Friday led to the seizure of 13 grams of cocaine and the arrest of an Freeport man. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies pulled over a Chevrolet Silverado because the driver was failing to manage a single lane in the 1300 to 1500 block of West County Road. Deputies discovered the driver, Dylan Scott Myers, 30, was wanted on several warrants out of Travis and Brazoria counties, and during a search of the truck, they found the cocaine in the false bottom of a WD-40 can, the report stated. Myers was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on the warrants and a $50,000 surety bond. Six die in weekend crashes. Six people were killed on Permian Basin highways over the weekend. On Saturday morning, 35-year-old Fernando Suhia Lopez of Gomez Palacio, Mexico, was killed 1 mile west on Mentone on State Highway 302. According to DPS, a Freightliner tractor trailer veered from the westbound lane of State Highway 302 when it veered into the eastbound lane and hit the Freightliner tractor trailer Lopez was driving head on. The driver of the other semi, a 53-year-old man from Houston, was taken to Medical Center Hospital in serious condition. On Saturday night, Adam Saucedo, 38, and Roxanne Alvarez, 35, both of Tulia, were killed when Saucedo's Dodge Nissan veered off County Road 306 to the south, and he overcorrected, skidded off the north side of the road, and hit a tree, according to DPS. Saucedo wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and Alvarez, who was wearing a seatbelt, were pronounced dead at the scene of the accident, which took place around 7:30 p.m. According to DPS, Jose Arturo Martinez Garcia, 32, of Midkiff, was killed around 3 a.m. Saturday on State Highway 158, less than 2 miles east of Midland. Martinez Garcia was driving a Chevrolet Silverado eastbound on State Highway 158 when he failed to control his speed and hit a Kenworth tractor trailer from the rear, DPS stated. Martinez Garcia, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was taken to Midland Memorial Hospital, where he died. The other driver wasn't hurt. According to DPS, two Seminole residents were killed Sunday afternoon when the Dodge Durango they were driving in suffered a tire blowout, causing it to veer across both eastbound lanes of U.S. 62, 15 miles west of Seminole, roll and hit a guardrail. Heinrich Wimberly Nelson, 44, and his passenger, Danielle Paris, 48, who were not wearing seatbelts, were both thrown from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene, according to DPS. Council picks GOP director as city manager. The city of Odessa has a new city manager. After interviewing three finalists for 2 hours each, the City Council unanimously chose John Beckmeyer to replace Michael Marrero, who was fired in December. Details of his contract still need to be worked out, and he'll have to go through a background check, but Council Member Steve Thompson said he is confident Beckmeyer will soon be at work. Back in March, the City Council crafted exactly what they wanted in a new city manager. The Council stated, the new city manager must have a bachelor's degree or higher in public administration, business administration, management, or a related field. In addition, they must have 3 or more years' experience as a city manager, assistant city manager, or as a department head in a city of similar size to Odessa. According to LinkedIn, Beckmeyer has an associate's degree in animal science from Western Texas College and a bachelor's degree in animal science from Sam Houston State University. Beckmeyer has been the executive director of the Republican Party of Texas since July 2021 and is the chief operating officer of the STEM Software Musketball Group in Odessa since January 2019. He joined the Musketball Group in 2017. LinkedIn shows he has held a variety of positions for companies involved in software development and e-commerce industries. 50 people applied for the position, but T2 Professional Consulting narrowed the list of finalists to 4. 3 candidates were interviewed Monday, the 4th withdrew. Thompson said all 3 were excellent candidates who reside in Texas, which was important to the council. Beckmeyer specifically has the organizational skills they were looking for, Thompson said. It was a tough process. They were all qualified and they all scored very high on the TriMetrics evaluations, Thompson said. He just seemed to be a very good fit. He's got a lot of experience in a lot of different areas. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, but he's a very smart man and I don't think he'll be easily influenced. The TriMetrics assessment is a patented way to look at candidates' behavioral styles, personal motivators, drivers, and competency levels. T2 founder Mike Wilson said the names of the other 2 finalists will remain confidential. What came before the council were great candidates, and we were really excited to present all of them to them, Wilson said. A 2015 Texas Scorecard article described Beckmeyer's wife, Teresa, as a big voice for Texas politics. She founded West Texas Voice, a blog educating readers on legislative and political happenings. She told Texas Scorecard that after living in Washington, D.C., she and her husband knew they needed to move back to Texas because of all of the corruption going on at the national level. She and her husband have served in a variety of positions within the Mitchell County Republican Party. She has also served as the legislative chair of the Republican Women of West Texas. Pfluger colleagues reintroduced bill to prevent Biden administration from declaring climate change a national emergency. Representative August Pfluger, Texas 11, along with U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito, Republican West Virginia, ranking member of the Senate Environment and Public Works, EPW Committee, recently reintroduced the Real Emergencies Act, legislation to clarify that the president does not have the authority to declare a national emergency on the premise of climate change. President Biden and his radical administration are working around the clock to destroy American-made, reliable energy sources. I am proud to join Senator Capito in introducing the Real Emergencies Act, which will prevent the White House from distracting from real emergencies like skyrocketing inflation and record high energy costs by declaring climate change a national emergency. Our legislation ensures that President Biden does not abuse the power of his office to pursue his anti-American energy agenda against the will of the American people, Pfluger said in a news release. The Biden administration has repeatedly governed by executive overreach when it comes to energy and environmental regulations, ignoring the law and doing so without congressional approval. These regulations have made us less energy independent, led to higher prices for consumers, and created uncertainty for employers and workers across the country. The Real Emergencies Act would ensure the president cannot go further by declaring a national emergency, which would grant him more executive authority and grow the size of government, all in the name of climate change, Capito said. Specifically, the Real Emergencies Act would prohibit the president from using the three primary statutory authorities available, the National Emergencies Act, the Stafford Act, and Section 319 of the Public Health Service Act, to declare a national emergency solely on the basis of climate change. Actual national emergencies or major disasters, hurricanes, flooding, etc., may still be declared. Teenager accused of shooting dad. An Odessa teenager was arrested early Saturday morning following a family fight that ended when she allegedly shot her dad in the rib cage. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Elena Myers' mom, 39, told authorities her husband pushed and shoved her to the ground, and Myers tried to stop him by hitting him with a metal frying pan. The Pointer Lane resident said she was leaving the house and her daughter fired a single round at her husband, who was following her but walking away from the teenager, the report stated. Officers learned the man, 39, suffered a broken rib from the 9mm bullet, the report stated. Myers was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 years to life in prison. She remains in the Ector County Jail Sunday on a $50,000 surety bond. ECSO seeks public's help in connection with shooting. The Ector County Sheriff's Office is looking for help in identifying a man who shot a convenience store clerk twice in the ankle from a BB gun Thursday morning. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said a clerk at the Stripes at 807 North FM 1936 argued with two people over the use of the store's bathroom around 3:30 a.m., and one of the men shot out of his car as they were driving away, striking the clerk twice. The clerk was taken to Medical Center Hospital. Authorities know the suspects were in a white car, but the store's video surveillance isn't the best, Griffiths said. Anyone with information concerning this incident or who can identify either of the suspects should contact investigator Chris Dufek at the Ector County Sheriff's Office, 432-335-3050, or Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. Odessa hosts Texas State Chamber's 4th annual conference. Discover Odessa and the Odessa Chamber of Commerce are proud to welcome more than 70 state chambers of commerce to Odessa this week for the annual Texas Chamber of Commerce Executives TCCE Conference. About 200 attendees will be at the event, which is being held at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. This annual conference brings together chambers professionals from across Texas to network, discuss ideas, and learn new skills with colleagues who are facing similar challenges. Over the course of 3 days, June 27th through 29th, attendees will engage in interactive social gatherings, learn fresh approaches to combat difficult obstacles, and hear from leading experts on issues that are relevant now. Our annual conference is designed with content tailor-made for the chamber industry. We've attracted national speakers like Association of Chambers of Commerce CEO Cherie Ann Kelly, U.S. Chamber Energy Guru Christopher Guith, and NetLife Executive Vincent Brancesi. Dr. Ray Perryman will speak on the economy, and Texas Association of Business Glenn Hammer will update us on the 88th legislative session with Jim Johnson, TCCE Board Chair and CEO of the Pureland Chamber of Commerce. We've built panels discussing the Chamber's roles in disasters, workforce development, advocacy, and pursuing excellence. Finally, we've put together highly practical how-to sessions on how chambers can immediately use and create digital advertising, AI tools, membership campaigns, leadership programs, and create new events, he added. Odessa Chamber is honored and proud to show off our community to our colleagues from across Texas. Odessa Discover put in a bid to host this event more than a year ago, and now it's come to fruition. We have 3 full days planned, and we are ready to roll out the red carpet and show the attendees our West Texas hospitality, said Renee Earls, President CEO of the Odessa Chamber and Conference Chair. Visit TCCEAnnualConference.com for more information.
This is the obituary column, Tuesday, June 27th. Dorothy Dooley Brenneman. Dorothy was born September 7th, 1938, and passed away on June 22nd, 2023. She graduated from Uvalde High School, then attended the universities of Wyoming and Arizona. She finished at Sol Ross State University, where she met her future husband, John. They were married in July of 1960. She is survived by her son, John Dooley, and Cindy, and several nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her husband, John Robert Brenneman. There are no services planned. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Alan Hoag Myers. Alan Hoag Myers, 73, of Midland, passed away June 22nd. Celebration of life service will be at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Jose Arturo Martinez Garcia. Jose Arturo Martinez Garcia, age 31, passed away on June 25th. A visitation will be held Wednesday, June 28th, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., with a rosary being said at 3 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will be held at a later date. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.asanchezTFH.com. This is the Dear Abby column. Mother-in-law's restaurant hysterics make dining out miserable. Dear Abby, I would like your help on how to deal with a problem I am having with my mother-in-law. The in-laws call at least once a week, wanting us to go out to dinner with them. It's embarrassing because my mother-in-law is always horrible to the waiter. She complains about everything and usually causes some sort of a scene. My husband and I are at a loss about how to tell her this is why we no longer want to go out with them. We have tried making excuses and inviting them to our house instead, but she refuses to take no for an answer and demands we join them at a restaurant. If we don't, she gets mad and has hurt feelings. Help! Signed, Eating Me Up in Alabama. Dear Eating Me Up, your mother-in-law's behavior is indeed an embarrassment, and your feelings are justified. Your husband should talk frankly with both his parents about why neither of you are comfortable eating out with them. If it isn't addressed, it won't be fixed. Dear Abby, my ex-husband's stepbrother died unexpectedly, and the ex wants to take our son to the funeral. The ex and his stepbrother were not close. The ex has not been active in our son's life. He moved to another state 2 years ago, and it took repeated explanations for my son to understand who was the person who died. My son told me he doesn't know his dad's family, so it doesn't bother him, and they aren't a part of his life. He hasn't asked to attend the funeral or ask anything else about his uncle. I don't think he should go. Should I let my ex take him so our son can see how many people have chosen not to be a part of his life, or should I refuse? Signed, Not in His Life. Dear Not in His Life, if you can resist mentioning your opinion to your son, he may not view meeting his paternal relatives the same way you do. Of one thing I am sure, he should not feel forced to go if he doesn't want to. I think the answer to your question depends on how old your son is and whether your ex is responsible enough to be trusted with the boy. Only you can answer that. Dear Abby, my mother is 74 and has been widowed for 10 years. During this time, my sister and I have tried to convince her to downsize from her very large, hard-to-maintain house to something more manageable. She is always overwhelmed. Friends and other family members offer to help her with it, and she acts like it's more than she can manage. We are now watching her becoming overwhelmed by everything in her life, not just the house. We are also wondering if some dementia is starting to set in. My sister and I want her to see a counselor and talk with her doctor, but she's too overwhelmed to do this either. Can we make an appointment with a counselor or minister for her? Signed, Trying to Help. Dear Trying to Help, make an appointment for her with her doctor, provide the transportation, and stay with her if possible. The doctor should be informed about what's going on, so your mother can be evaluated. Changes like the ones you describe could be symptoms of an underlying illness as well as dementia. And the sooner you can find out, the better for your mother. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.